This is Pure Decking, show number 416 for Thursday, November, somewhere in space and time. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and realizing that Philip K. Dick was right. I'm Morps. I'm drinking multi-shoulder. And it's been a week. What's up, Madman?
I'm working on becoming a cyborg. It's going to cost me about, $5,000, $10,000. It'll be fun.
What do you need a pacemaker for?
Oh, no, robotic lungs and legs.
Oh, well, that's better. For a second, I thought you were being serious. It's like, wait, what? Fuck! And we have RU.
I'm just sitting here waiting for Madman to get his prosthetics, and then I'm going to harvest them. What a week. What a week.
Psychro says his dad is an epic cyborg pacemaker and hearing aids.
Dang.
Well, I know
to get him for Christmas.
I tell you what, the number of vets we got right now missing limbs, I wouldn't be surprised if here in a few years we start seeing legit cyborgs showing up.
Well, you know how you get your dad to buy you whatever you want for Christmas. Just walk up with a taser and go, "Want to roll a dice, old man?"
Wow.
Is that Christmas shopping or armed robbery?
It's 2020. I can't tell anymore. Is it enhanced shopping techniques or is that looting? I don't know.
Well, it's like what my sister posted on Facebook. Are we supposed to riot now? I'm new at this. Do we hit Bed Bath & Beyond or just any place with wine? I mean, It's like, who's organizing this? So, yeah, fuck, I don't know.
Do an RSVP.
Yeah. where's the Facebook group for this? Who's bringing the cheese tray?
Is this a potluck or are we burning down a neighborhood? You gonna bring a cheese tray? I'm bringing Molotov cocktails. Are you bringing the AR or not?
It's like, well, yeah. I mean, obviously.
Oh, yeah, and go ahead and bring the cheese tray, too, because now I kind of want some hors d'oeuvres.
I like what Psychro says. If you're out robbing liquor stores and your friend is the one looting on the wine, you brought the wrong friend.
No, Madman, the top shelf shit. Don't get the Budweiser, you fool.
I could just see, RU's over there, he's got his ninja costume on, he's going for the hard shit, Madman's up there, so do you have this in a Chardonnay?
Can I taste this before I loot it, please? I want to know if it goes well with my cab sauv.
How well would this pair with a meat dish?
Yeah.
Oh, he says it's a question of alcohol to weight ratio. Well, if that's what you're going for, just get the Everclear and mix it with whatever you like. I mean, fuck.
That's why you show up with a rider truck. I'm not carrying this shit off.
Yeah, either am I, man. Yeah, a hand dolly and a small truck. Fuck, we white. We're going to loot correctly. None of this hand carry shit.
You hit up the moving van, then the liquor store.
Exactly. Then we go to the butchers.
And then the hardware store to get a barbecue.
Yeah.
We'll hit up Lowe's because no one goes for those.
Well, that's how the right loot, man. They carefully plan it out meticulously what they want. Yeah. And then they schedule it for a week from Tuesday. Actually, we're going to have to do it on a Saturday because I got work on Monday.
Yeah, that is how that conversation
that's the problem, isn't it?
It always gets postponed because they can never find a day that everybody's off, and by then the thing's over, so, you know. Hitting up Lowe's is the only way to... Oh, is Lowe's a black-run business? Oh, they have a black CEO. Okay, yeah, well, I don't really know the optics of this shit anymore. It's gotten so... I think the word would be deranged that it's...
I think you're quite correct in using the word deranged.
Yeah. I don't really know anymore.
Hey, man, if you're stealing someone's shit, it doesn't matter what color or creed they are. You're stealing someone's shit. You know what I mean?
That's a very good point. That is a very good point.
It's probably a racist statement in current year. So
I still think no. I think that's the most correct point anybody's made with that joke so far.
Dude, that's the way I see it anyway, man. I don't care what you're trying to take from me. I don't give a fuck.
So speaking of not getting caught, I discussed it with Aryu. I don't know if Madman, if I gave you a heads up of what the topic was for tonight or not. So
operational security.
That's it. So, you know, this has been a thing for a while, but, you know, all the social media sites, I mean, for God's sake, I was talking with my mom the other day because, you know, she was asking me something about my insurance, and she said ever since she's talked to me about it, she's gotten nothing but Facebook ads for the company I use for my health insurance. And it's
it's not spying on you.
Yeah.
It's not spying on you. They already were going to target you with this anyway.
Yeah, sure.
They can pre-predict what you're about to talk about. That's how good the analytics is these days.
It's scary because you might be right about that they do a lot of association of who are you connecting with. It might not be that it listened to what I talked about, but it might know that I talked to my mom and make the connection between the phone numbers and accounts. And then who's your insurance?
Was your insurance about to be due?
Well, I mean, it's that time of year where you do the open enrollment.
Exactly. So. Mom gets the ads because she's going to talk to the son about getting insured. Dude, it was already going to do that. It's predictive analytics. This shit is crazy scary when you start reading some of the ideas for how they want to implement it, especially when it comes to predictive crime technology.
Sure.
Wait till that's going to be a buzzword. Mid next year.
So the EFS website, I don't have links to this stuff, I'm just remembering it off the top of my head, actually has some good information on how these different platforms track you across different web pages, right? So they have different means that they use to build identifying trackers, you know, whether it's just regular old cookies in your browser, super cookies, which are not as much of a thing since Flash is pretty much dead, but you know, they used to put cookies inside of Flash because those were really hard to clear out, you know, and then they also build user profiles based on things like what software is installed, what fonts do you have, what links have you clicked on, because web pages can tell that, by the way, usually by checking the color of the font of the link. In JavaScript, they can tell if you've clicked a link or not by checking the color that you use. So, you know, not to mention tracking the clicks. Actually, there's some tracking you can install on web pages that'll show you the entire, you know, all the mouse movement, every keystroke, everything that has happened when that page was open. Usually when they're running that kind of tracking software, though, your browser runs pretty slow. So, kind of a giveaway there. But, so the best way to, and not to mention on top of that, a lot of programs you install on your computer throw crap in the background. A lot of games will have an anti-cheat system, for an example. A lot of software will come with specific parts of specific fonts. Of course, different modules, different plugins for your browser. If you use WebEx or Zoom for work, or even, you know, Zoom for social calls and things like that, of course, that's got a browser plugin, and websites can track that. So you start seeing all this interaction on your machine, especially because modern operating systems have gotten so complex, it's pretty hard to know what all is going on at all times on a machine, especially a Windows box. Linux, it's a little bit more open, a little bit easier to tell. And Mac, I didn't keep the link to it because it wasn't a very well-vetted article, but apparently the newest versions of Mac OS are doing anti-malware checks of executable hashes against some central server, and that server hiccuped, apparently, earlier this week, so people's Macs just wouldn't run programs because they were stuck waiting on the server to respond.
Oops.
So, I've been giving this a lot of thought of how do you separate your activities, right, on your machine so that, you know, Facebook isn't also linking to your Google, isn't also linking to your, if you use Twitter, isn't also linking to your Amazon account, and all these companies changing information. Now, I used to do it with virtual machines. You know, I'd load up VirtualBox, and I'd have, you know, three or four different Ubuntu, usually, virtual machines on top of my Windows box, so I could game on the Windows box. Then if I was going to do banking, that had its own machine. If I was going to do something on, like, a Facebook or social media account, that usually had its own machine. If you're running Linux native, there's FireJails. There's Cubes OS, what Psychros just called out in the IRC. That's on my list. Which is a fancy way of running lots of virtual machines and separating things out. But anybody who's actually tried to live in Cubes OS, I tried it on one of my laptops for about a week. It's frustrating as balls because there's so much control and it's hard to move files between, purposely hard, but it's hard to move files between the segments. So I got thinking about this, and I don't think virtual machines are the way to go for most people. If you're comfortable operating in virtual machines, by all means, they're great, especially because you can snapshot and roll them back. But most people are not as comfortable with concepts of virtual machines, especially because you have performance issues. You know, things like, you know, video acceleration is kind of crap. Sometimes you can get away with watching YouTube in a VM, sometimes not. It depends on, you know, your hardware and things like that. So I got thinking about it. And I'm thinking probably one of the better devices you could use if you're wanting to do operational security, which is you need to have some kind of segmentation between your actions. And Frank, I like the idea of separating operating systems, having a separate operating system for your, you know, one for your banking, one for your social media, one for all this stuff. Because you greatly reduce the opportunity of crosstalk, especially because I dig into some of the seedier shit on the internet, malware hunting, copying links out of my spam folder to go see if I can maybe write Python scripts to fill their phishing pages full of shit because I think it's funny. If anybody hasn't done that, by the way, it's called Beautiful Soup, and between that and Selenium, you can automate the fuck out of a web browser. So if you're comfortable doing this, I don't recommend most people do this because it's a fantastic way to fuck your shit up if you do it wrong. But if you get somebody's phishing link, and usually the crappier phishing links are the easier ones to do this with, you can break apart the web form. And you do use the developer console in your web browser, break apart the web form, build a Python script that answers that web form. And then just, you know, have it randomly filling it out with, you know, personal insults, racist language, maybe streaming B off 4chan, whatever. Just random bullshit into their form so that you fill their database up with useless shit. And in case they're logging source, I tend to use proxy chains for the Python script and pipe it through Tor just so that it's, you know, I can change the IP after every couple of responses. But it's great fun, but I don't recommend that for most people. But if you are going to do things like that, you want that on a segmented system in case you fuck up or in case it's got a keylogger or some other drive-by download shit. So after giving it some thought, if you want to try to do operational security, probably the best thing you could get right now would be this new Raspberry Pi that just came out, the one that's built into a keyboard. It's called a Raspberry Pi 400. It's basically the same thing as a Raspberry Pi 4, except it's built into a keyboard, so it's a little better form factor. And it's got a big old honking metal plate in it, so it's got a much better heat spreader than the stock little credit card-sized Raspberry Pi. If you've already got one of the credit card-sized Raspberry Pis, just use that. There's a ton of other single-board computers that do the same thing. I'm recommending it because performance is fairly good. It's not perfect. Like, I wouldn't recommend it for gaming, but for just, like, your web browsing, you know, the social media, or maybe popping YouTube up on another screen or something like that, so you're not generating this one massive profile for all these companies to work from, but instead separating out your activities. Because SD cards are cheap, and the entire operating system lives on an SD card. So, you know, you can image on your main gaming rig, you know, 5 or 6 of the SD cards, put a label on them, or just take a Sharpie to them and, you know, put a letter on it so you know the code, so that you know which one's which. And, you know, it's they're Linux-based, so they're easy enough to deal with when updates and things like that. You can update them when you want to or not, depending on how often you use them. Because that's the other thing, is if you try to do, like, you know, you can get these cheapy Windows laptops, right? Well, if you leave a Windows laptop off for a few months and turn it on, the first thing it does nowadays is try to run updates and just takes for fucking ever. Cycros, you're absolutely correct. There are tons of alternative operating systems for the Raspberry Pis. There's Risk. There's I've got a link for one. I keep thinking about putting it in Decking. I keep not doing it, but it's a basic OS, so it's like an old school Commodore. I haven't seen BOS. I think there is a Haiku build or something similar to it.
Before we go running into the weeds on how many millions of operating systems out there, pick the one you like. Use that.
Well, yeah. So for this specific task, I'm going to recommend the stock Raspbian, because there's lots of information out there on how to use it. Tons of YouTube channels of what to do with Raspbian to get it to do things, to play games, how to get, you know, different bits of software installed on it. There's the Raspi apps add-ons, plenty of config information out there. And I'm saying this because it's easy to Google how to do something on a Raspi. And the other reason I think the Raspi 400 is good is because my Raspi 400 is going to be the same as anybody else's Raspi 400. Yeah, it's got a USB 3 port on the back of it. You know, you might have a different size screen or two, because it's got two on the HDMI. You might have something plugged into the USB. But other than that, it's the same as anybody else who has one. So between that and a VPN, you know, pick one. Suddenly tracking you between, you know, you connect to your VPN, then you go do your Facebook stuff on one SD card, you pop that SD card out, you put in another one, then you go do your banking stuff and, you know, reconnect to your VPN, but you're probably not going to get the same IP from your VPN service. And again, there's a couple of decent ones out there. Pick one. If you want one that advertises on YouTube a lot, that's fine. You got to remember, you're not using a VPN for privacy. They all advertise that they're for privacy. And they kind of are. But the VPN service can still monitor everything you fucking do through it. So don't think that, oh, I'm using a VPN, nobody knows what I'm doing. If you want to do that, use Tor. And just realize it's going to be slow as Christmas. With the VPN, though, you're preventing Facebook or Amazon or YouTube or Google or any other thousands of websites that work through advertisers and news sources, Reddit, pick one, right? You're preventing them from correlating because you keep changing your IP address and you're potentially coming from different places depending on how your VPN is set up. Or you can get really fancy and build your own VPN off of a VPS provider or an Amazon cloud account or something like that. But then you have the risk that it's always coming from the same place, so they could still build the profile. Because again, they don't care that it's going through a VPN. They're just looking at a source. And so if you're going through a regular VPN, like a, you know, a private internet access or I'm trying to think of one. There's tons of them out there. There's lots of other people using them. So it's easy enough for your traffic to get mixed up with everybody else's. A good way to snapshot the OS on a Raspberry Pi like a VM snapshot. Yes, but not like you're thinking. So again, they're all SD cards. So if you download Etcher, Win32 Disk Imager, or even DD on a Linux-based machine, you can copy your SD card to an image. And or you can copy the SD card to another SD card, because you can put in a reader and put it on the Raspberry, and it's got a cloning tool. So you could have versions, because like a 32 gig SD card, you can get a pack of five on Amazon for like $50. They're not that expensive. And the keyboard version of the Raspberry is like $70 on its own, or $100 in a kit. So, you know, it's not that expensive if you're wanting to do this so that you're actually running a separate operating system for each task.
So that establishes how to do it.
Right.
Then the hard part is up to you.
Having the discipline to do that, because...
Discipline to do it.
Yeah.
Because you've had the convenience of your main rig for your entire life, and possibly your phone for banking, things like that. This is about breaking off that. You know, this is harder than giving up cocaine, man. This is...
Well, because I'm not saying get rid of your main gaming rig.
No, no.
Right? I'm not saying get rid of your work laptop or your phone. I'm just saying...
We're just trying to separate...
Right.
Yeah. The things that you... Where your vulnerabilities could show. Yeah, and that's the big thing. Is the discipline now is to maintain that. And do it for 3 months... And I guarantee you'll never go back. You'll see the benefits from it. Not now, but 5 years from now, you'll see the true benefits of doing it.
So Cycros is saying he just doesn't log into his Facebook account on any system he owns. That's not a bad policy.
Yeah.
But you'll find things that you want to participate with that are only on a Facebook or only on a Twitter. And... it kind of sucks saying, well, I just don't use Facebook, so I don't get to see it. You know, I do a lot of 3D printing stuff, and unfortunately, a lot of 3D printing groups are Facebook and Facebook alone. So, you know, I was spinning up VMs, and of course, I hadn't logged into that Facebook account in years. But, yeah, it had some stuff on there that was a little bit more recent than that. So it's like, okay, it's done some correlation at some point. I'm not saying get rid of your main rig. Because obviously the Raspberry isn't going to game. I mean...
And this is just... we're brainstorming for ideas to bring you that aren't fucking election-based at this point.
Dude, do you know how hard... Everything's fucking election-based right now.
That or the Wooflu. Yeah. But yeah, we were looking 5 years down the track when Morps brought this up, and I was thinking about it last night, and I'm like, yeah, this is actually a thing I'm going to think about doing. I'm going to think about getting my wife into doing the same thing. Her work computer is just for her work. No more checking emails and shit like that.
Right. And that's why I recommended the Raspberries, because it's like, well, you can image the SD card. You can have a handful of them. So they're cheap. So if
I see that working okay at home.
Yeah.
I'm already used to, you know, being at a computer, and I prefer a computer over most mobile devices. But a lot of people I know... the only computing they do is on a mobile device, and sitting at a desk to do something or just at their house isn't something they normally think of. They just pull out their phone whenever they have free time and just want to kill moments and hop onto the internet. Is there a mobile way of doing this?
Yes.
This isn't for those people, though. You know what I mean? This is for those a little bit more advanced than have the time.
So there is.
But yeah, explain the mobile.
Why so not? There are, you know, at least on Android, you can run sandboxes, you know, and run a little Linux sandbox. But like, are you saying that's a pain in the ass? And I like sticking to the Linux side of the house, because you have a fairly high degree of confidence that most of your Linux distros are clean. You know, I was talking about earlier, Mac OS is calling home nowadays for every executable you run. It's doing it for anti-malware, but it's still doing it. Windows is doing the telemetry that you cannot turn off. iOS and Android aren't much better. You know, anything Mac OS is doing, you can guarantee iOS is probably doing. And Android is an interesting mixed bag, because there are certainly SKUs of Android that are free of all the monitoring and privacy focused, but you got to know how to flash a ROM onto your device to use them. You know, if you're wanting, well, I'm going to do the device segregation, but I'm just going to get on Amazon and order three cheap Android tablets, and one's for banking, and one's for social media, and one's for whatever else, and then, you know, pick what you're going to do on your phone, you can do that, but the cheap tablets are all Chinesium specials that are probably pre-owned by whoever's selling them, and that includes Amazon, by the way. They sell their cheap, their Fire tablets, which are decent hardware, but they're cheap. Well, they're cheap because they're monitoring what you're doing and feeding that that whole data ecosystem, right? So, and I'm not saying don't use your phone, don't use your iPad, don't, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying be careful about what you use and, you know, show a little discipline. If you want to, if you watch YouTube on your main rig and your phone and you don't mind those being correlated, cool. Maybe don't be on your Facebook on the same device. Maybe don't be on, you know, if you don't mind your gaming identities correlated with your YouTube, okay, that's fine. This, you know, it's just giving it that little bit of thought. So it's hard. It's not easy to do this. And, you know, if you have somebody who purely lives on their phone, it is hard to get them off of that. And, you know, like when we talk to Static, he says he doesn't give a fuck. Let them track him. That's if you decide you care. You know, if you don't care that these companies are tracking you, building profiles, and going to use it to market to you, well, because that's what ultimately, you know, yeah, we can go into the whole dystopian nightmare that they're going to, oh, you supported the wrong political candidate, into the camps with you. Truth and Reconciliation Committees, here we come. No, I mean, yeah, maybe for some politicians, but probably not, like, you know, for most people. But, you know, what are they doing? They're building a marketing profile. They want to be able to say, we have X number of users on this platform who are right wing, X number who are left wing, X number who are men into firearms, X number that are, you know, women into firearms, I don't know, you know, they're into cooking, into camping, whatever. And they use that to then send out advertising campaigns. So, but, you know, and this again gets into this online system versus a personal system. Most mobile devices, they're tied into Google services or Apple services to the point that if they're not on the internet, they're damn near useless or they don't work very well. Anybody who's got a Fire TV, an older one, performance isn't anywhere near where it was. That's because Amazon's cranked up how much monitoring they're trying to do on the damn things. You want to see just what's going on with some of these devices? Install Pi-hole, you know, set up or DNS logging of any kind, and just watch the logs and see how many requests go to the Microsoft servers, to the Amazon servers, to the Google servers, to the Apple servers from these devices. It's insane how noisy these things are. So the only operating system I've seen that even attempts to give you any measure of control over all this shit going on is Linux right now. And I don't want to get into the religious wars. I don't want to be, you know, Saint Stallman versus Bill Gates as the devil or any of that shit. I just, from a very practical standpoint right now, if you want to have control over what your computing device is doing, Linux is it. Unless you want to, like, you know, go break out the DOS and the Windows 95 and, you know, Mac 9. You know, run on these ancient versions of the OSs, but most people don't want to do that because they want to run a modern game. They want to run, be able to do modern internet stuff. Yeah, BSD is fair call. Fair call, Psychros. BSD is up there too. You know, the open source operating systems, though, is if you want to have control over what's going on, that's going to be it. But, you know, you have to decide you care enough about it to put in the effort. If you don't, well, don't be surprised when you get all this marketing shit that is targeted and seems to know more about you than you know yourself. Do I honestly think...
I didn't know I needed a prostate exam until Google told me.
Yeah, I mean, do I honestly think that, you know, the stormtrooper is going to come around and round you up because you said the wrong thing online? Not really, but it has happened in England. And they're not, I mean, you know, maybe actually, I shouldn't be calling the police stormtroopers, but still.
I think it was Denmark. I'll have to check this, but I found a story yesterday where they passed a law that to even criticize a tranny or a balloon animal maker is to, even in your own private home, is a 1 year prison.
We talked about on Decking last week that they were talking about, or Britain was looking into removing the private.
Yeah, this one was actually actually passed.
Yeah.
I don't hold me to Denmark, but it was one of those countries, the progressive countries.
Well, I mean, and you think, what if you're in one of these countries where something like, say, you know, we'll pick something nice and topical. Let's say something like Sharia law gets implemented. You know, hello, France.
oh, then they won't have to worry about the balloon animal people then.
Well, I know, but...
Because they won't exist. They'll be taking small chartered flights off the top of the Eiffel Tower.
But if they can coordinate all this stuff and see who's, you know, said anything that could be interpreted as vaguely anti-Islamic, I mean, how do you think that's going to go for you in a country like that? And I'm not saying that France is turning it into an Islamic country, but, you know, it's
turning into an Islamic country.
Well... From what you all say.
He didn't say it, I did. Okay.
Do I know that to be truth? No, but you guys are showing me some stuff, and it's like, well, fuck. So.
Speech laws are coming. Just get ready, people. The balloon animal people have too much power.
You know, and if you do, say, run an internet radio station based entirely on pseudonyms and a zero-trust architecture, maybe using... you know, dedicated hardware that you don't use for anything else might not be a bad idea. Just so that the association doesn't get made with your real name accounts, you know?
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
So, Madman, you got anything on this? You've been quiet.
No, I think we covered about all of it.
So.
Yeah, I'm good. Let's hit some news. If there's any that
I got
isn't
a few. I got a few. A couple of them are kind of dumb, but I got a few. So first one up is from, is that using the same pseudonyms on Steam? Yeah, because you're right about, well, actually I don't. My Steam pseudonym is different. And, is there a Morps on Steam? That's not my Steam name. Well, there was some guy out of the Netherlands who was trying to use Morps as his handle too, and I noticed he had seen several others. Yeah, some of the other crew does pop up on there from time to time, but you know, at least there's some spelling variations or changing of the vegetables. I mean, anyways, but.
Fuck, there wouldn't be more than one of me on Steam. Who else would be stupid enough to have that name in this age?
Yeah.
Granted, I picked that 20 fucking years ago, okay?
My God, it really has been that long.
I'm coming up on 16 years of broadcasting. You're at least 11 years broadcasting, maybe 12. Madman, oh, easy 10. So we've been around a while doing this shit. Same names. And that says something for... I don't know, you wouldn't use the word integrity, but yeah, not hiding Boredom. Anything. No, not hiding anything behind the pseudonyms. It's not like we're changing it every 6 months because people keep flagging us on Steam for fucking cheating or something.
Although, but, I mean, to be fair, mine originally came from the World of Warcraft random name generator. I'll admit it. So...
There were some fun raids with that guy.
We shortened it, but, you know, still.
Anyway, let's hit the news. I want to get out of here within an hour tonight.
Fair enough. Figured it was the Second Life generator. No. This name predates Second Life. So this one's from ZDNet. Older Android phones will start failing on some secure websites in 2021. They may not be cool, and they're certainly not up to date, but there are millions of old Android smartphones out there running 2016's Android 7.1 Nougat or earlier. On September 1st, so Madman, pay attention. I know you tend to stick to the older phones. On September 1st, 2021, however, those phones will start failing when they try to connect to websites secured by Let's Encrypt certificates. Let's Encrypt is the enormously popular free open source certificate authority. Thanks to its service, over a billion websites have been secured. It's worked well. But Let's Encrypt's original root certificate, which relied on a cross-signature from IdentTrust DST Root X3, will expire on September 1st, 2021. With most open source systems, or operating systems, this wouldn't be a problem. Let's Encrypt now has its own root certificate, the ISRG Root X11, and most operating systems and browsers can work with it. Alas, that's not the case with Android, and it's not like Android doesn't get updated often enough by vendors is news to anyone. After all, any Android phones running Android 6 or earlier hasn't been getting any security updates since earlier this year. But users, as the tens of millions still running Windows 7 show, won't pay attention to security updates, so it bites them in the butt. This coming problem, though, is one that you won't be able to ignore. At best, if you're still using one of the older phones, you'll get an error message asking if you still want to go to the site. At worst, you won't be able to get to your favorite website at all. See, it's not Ed Let's Encrypt's problem either. So what this goes back to is, all phones have what's called a root certificate store, and that's where they store the public keys of all the certificates they trust. Well, certificates expire every once in a while, and that's by design. And the idea is that you would get an update to your operating system with new root certificates. Or if you work at a company that is insisting on continuing to run Java 6 software because updating it would be expensive and hard, even though it's still the heart of your business and generates most of your income. Instead, you end up with some poor security engineer who has to rip the certificates out of Java, newer Java releases, and backport them into ancient JDKs. I should stop talking about that because I'm giving away the farm here, but no, I haven't had to port. I haven't had to personally port certificates back into older versions of Java, but I did have to verify that it worked for some poor ops engineer that had to do it because they refused to update. Anyways, yeah, I've done the whole manual root cert thing. It's a pain in the ass. But what's happening here is because these old Android phones aren't getting updates, they're not getting certificate updates either. And we're coming up on some popular ones expiring next year. So you might start seeing older phones that can't browse certain websites because the certs are expired. Now, one thing you can do is install something that has its own cert store, like I think Firefox does. Oh, I'm not sure on Android now that I think about it. I know on PCs, Firefox has its own cert store. I would expect it to on Android. I'm kind of speculating there. Anyways, back to the article. The problem, though, is they won't ignore. I read that. What can be done about it? Don't look to Let's Encrypt for an easy answer. You see, it's not really their problem. Since day one, Android hardware vendors have refused to update their systems. If you want an Android smartphone, which keeps the up with the state of the operating system, the only choice is a Google Pixel phone, and to a lesser extent, Samsung phones. Or, you know, buy a new phone, which is the reason they stop updating them. They want you to go buy a new phone. And again, this comes back to doing important shit on an open system like, say, the Raspi we were talking about, where they actually maintain the operating system and it's easy enough to flash a new one.
Built-in obsolescence can suck my fucking dick.
Cycros just confirmed for me that Firefox does have its own cert store on Android. Awesome. Thank you. So, yeah, if you haven't yet, I would go ahead and drop Firefox on your Android phone just in case you need it. You know, if you're running an older one. Let's see. As Jacob Hoffman Andrews, lead developer of Let's Encrypt, said, Android has a long-standing and well-known issue with the operating system updates. There are lots of Android devices in the world running out-of-date operating systems. The causes are complex and hard to fix for each phone. The core operating system, the core Android operating system, is commonly modified by both the manufacturer and mobile carrier before an end user receives it. When there's an update to Android, both the manufacturer and the mobile carrier have to incorporate those changes into their customized version before sending it out. Often, manufacturers decide it's not worth the effort, and the result is bad for people who buy these devices. Many are stuck on operating systems that are years out of date. And besides, we can't afford to buy the world a new phone. So again, that comes back to, jumping on these open platforms is probably going to be the way to go at the end of the day. I would also say if you do have an older Android device that you want to keep using, you might want to become familiar with the XDA developer forums. That's where most of the more interesting mobile hacking goes on. And there's lots of custom images and things like that on there. So with any luck, you can maybe find something for a device like flashing a more open ROM or a more up-to-date ROM on it. I used to do that with some of the Nexus tablets and some of the older Samsung phones. Unfortunately, I haven't been doing as much jailbreaking on mobile devices because I need to run MDM software for work on my main phone, and I just haven't had the need to really jailbreak some of this stuff because they've been, like my iPads and stuff like that, they've kind of loosened the restrictions, and you can do ISH and, Terminus and things like that, so I haven't really had as much of a need to do it. But, Sycros is recommending looking into Replicant OS for Android and Sailfish if you want to go for the manual route of trying to update your own device. Again, and this determines that, has somebody done the work to put one of these things on your phone or build a custom ROM image for your phone that's unlocked or rooted? He says they're still on the horizon. Or two, do you have the skill to root the thing yourself? So, or do you know somebody who's willing to do the work for you to root the damn phone? So, which actually on Android, that's usually not as bad. Older iOS can kind of be a pain in the ass, especially if you install the wrong updates on some of them. But back to the article. If you can't afford to buy a new phone either, not everyone gets the latest and greatest phones. You can install Firefox Mobile. It currently supports Android 5. Firefox is one web browser, strips its own list of trusted root CAs. I should have read farther in the story. If you're going to use it, you can get an update list of trusted CAs, even if your copy of Android is stuck on the out-of-date list. If you're a website owner and you're about to use Let's Encrypt, you're going to run into this problem sooner than September 1st. That's because on January 11th of 2021, Let's Encrypt is changing its API so that automatic certificate management clients will by default serve a certificate chain that leads to to the new cert. That means site's going to give older Android smartphones a problem. So, but it's not just phones. It's old tablets, media devices like those old Android TV boxes. Nobody's updating those things either. So,
I just checked. My phone at least gives me the option to check for updates, but then it's just how long are they going to continue to update this model?
What Android is it running? Do you know?
Let me pull it back up.
Yeah, if you go into system, I forget where it is.
The last update was August, and I just checked, and it says I'm still up to date.
Yeah, I just got one this morning, actually, on mine, but you know me, I stick to new phones. Because I convince myself I need them for work, which is usually not true. But I'm still on the Note 10 Plus, which if you go into software version, I'm on Android 10.
I just stumbled across that image that I was looking for earlier that I wanted to show you about dressing up for a certain protest.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry, I didn't mean to drop the show.
We were talking about that earlier. That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, moving back to the show. Sorry about that.
Woo! Phone's been out for 2 weeks now. Pixel 5. Nice, Sycros. Yeah, I'm on. I'm still on the Note 10. I guess it's still on Android 10, even though 11's out. But that's normal. They might put it out for it later this year. You know, they're usually a year behind for doing the OS updates. But
Knox 3.1.
That's the Samsung thing. Do you see the Android version anywhere? Knox is the security system. Password vaulting, MDM stuff, certificate management, things like that. But from what your phone's probably one of, probably running 7 or 8, Madman, from what I remember seeing it.
Android version. It just says Android version 8.0.0.
8? Okay. Yeah. So you're okay. But anyways.
All right. Next story.
Next story is from The Guardian. Copy and paste the link into the various sources here. From The Guardian. Company forced to change name because it could be used to hack websites.
What?
Yes. Company's house has forced a company to change its name after it belatedly realized it could pose a security list. The company, now legally known as That Company Whose Name Used to Contain HTML Script Cat Tags LTD, was set up by a British software engineer who said he did it purely because he thought it would be a fun, playful name for his consulting business. He now says he didn't realize that the company's house was actually vulnerable to the extremely simple technique he used, known as cross-site scripting, which allowed an attacker to run code from one website on the another. The original name of the company was, quote, close bracket, open bracket, script, source equals HTTPS colon double slash MJT.XSS.HT close bracket LTD, unquote. And I read that out on purpose. It's a fucking HTML script tag was the dude's company name. By beginning the name with a quotation mark and a chevron, any site which failed to properly handle the HTML code would mistakenly thought the company name was blank and then loaded and executed a script from the site XSS Hunter, which helps developers find cross-site scripting errors. He's not going to talk about it in the article here, but he did this because there was that API on the British company's registry that lets people scrape it. So he was doing it to fuck with sites that scrape company names. The script simply would have put up a harmless alert, but it serves as proof that a malicious attacker could instead have used the same weakness as a gateway to much more damaging ends. Similar names have been registered in the past, such as, oh god, semicolon, space, drop table, quote, companies, unquote, semicolon, dash dash LTD, a wry attempt to carry out an attack known as SQL injection, inspired by the famous XKCD webs. Okay, come on. Little Bobby Drop Tables is funny, but people knew about SQL injection long before Little Bobby Drop Tables. Anyways, this was the first such name to have prompted a response. The company's house has retroactively removed the original name from its data feeds, and all documentation referring to its original moniker now simply reads, company name available on request. They censored him! They fucking censored him because he put an HTML script tag in his company name.
Awesome.
Oh, director of the company who asked not to be named told The Guardian Government Digital Services, GDS, have done a good reputation for security, and other companies with similar playful names have been registered in the past, so I thought there wouldn't be a problem. Quote, when I discovered there were some minor problems, I contacted Company's House and the National Cybersecurity Center immediately and didn't disclose the issue to anyone else. He did not realize it was an issue, he said, because characters including the close bracket and quote are explicitly allowed as company names, which suggested the agency had put security measures in place to prevent such an attack. Company's House spokesperson said the company was registered using characters that could have presented a security risk to a small number of our customers if published on an unprotected external website. We have taken immediate steps to mitigate the risk and put measures in place to prevent a similar occurrence. Come on, man. Fucking HTML script tag in the company name. I mean, I love it. I think it's great.
Either my connection went to crap or yours did.
Yeah, I think we lost Morps for a second. There we go. No, you're back. We lost you for a second.
I've been laughing at the company name for like a minute.
Yeah, no, it's all good, man.
Guys in the IRC, right. we lose the stream?
No, I was on the stream a second ago. We're fine.
All right. Well, speaking of the guys in the IRC, we have Sardonyx, Cyber Dystopia, which is a bot, Cyber Lord, Psychros, Herats, Madman, Morps, Nick with 2 Ks, and the Coffee Maker. Very shortly, like seconds. So, okay, I guess my connection did have a hiccup.
Very, very small. Anyway.
I need to buy a house someplace in range of fiber. Anyways. where were we? Were we done with that story? Because I was just laughing.
I think so. Okay. There wasn't much to it. Yeah.
Next one up is from NBC News. Amazon hit with EU antitrust charges over its use of data. So, the e-commerce giant faces possible fine of up to 10% of its annual worldwide revenue, which could amount to billions of dollars. For Bezos, he'll get it out of the change in his couch. London, European Union regulators have filed antitrust charges against Amazon. So they haven't actually been found guilty, they just filed them. Accusing the e-commerce giant of using... And the way to go waiting for the U.S. to say they're going to do it first and then doing it. Anyways, according to the e-commerce accusing the e-commerce giant of using data to gain an unfair advantage over merchants using its platform. The EU's executive commission, the bloc's top antitrust enforcer, said Tuesday that the charges have been sent to the company. The commission said it takes issues with Amazon's systemic use of non-public business data to avoid the, quote, normal risks of competition and leverage its dominance, unquote, for e-commerce services in France and Germany, the company's two biggest markets in the EU. The EU started looking at Amazon in 2018 and has been focusing on its dual role as a marketplace and a retailer. In addition to selling its own products, the U.S. company allowed third-party retailers to sell their own goods through its site. Last year, more than half of the items sold on Amazon worldwide were sold from outside merchants. Executive Vice President Margaret Vestgari, the EU commissioner in charge of competition, said it's not a problem that Amazon is a successful business, but, quote, our concern is very specific business conduct which appears to distort genuine competition, unquote. Amazon faces a possible fine of up to 10% of its annual worldwide revenue, which could amount to billions of dollars. The company rejected the accusations. What a bet that this is just a cash grab. This is just people in the EU going, they got a lot of money. I bet we could get a percentage of that.
I'm certain it's a cash grab, but it could also result in something. I'm not sure what. Probably about the cost of Amazon Prime going up $1.50.
Pissed off some regulator. So, bigger news than this is that China is doing the same thing to Alibaba. Yeah, I could see. Well, China's doing the same. That's weird because usually the Communist Party will, instead of charging them, they'll just go in and take it. So,
yep,
that's odd. Maybe they've already done it and they're backdating the paperwork to justify what they did. Billions of dollars, much like Facebook, got hit with a few billion-dollar fine a year or so ago, and they shrugged it off. Yeah, that's the thing, is Amazon doesn't fucking care. Now, if they do a percentage of their yearly revenue, they'll care about that, but if they just come in and, you know, give them a dollar amount, they're not going to care.
Yeah, they'll just write that down on tax for next year, so they won't lose a fucking cent.
Well, that, or they'll just say, fine, we'll pull out of EU. They don't want that. But I could see Amazon doing that. It's like, yeah, we'll expand into China and just not do in the EU. Have best of luck, guys. Watch them lose their shit over that.
I wonder if that's if they would lose enough profit that just paying off the fine is worth staying there.
I don't know. I don't know the math because I don't know how much they sell in the EU.
Yeah, I don't have anything on this one.
So, but
that would at least protect EU vendors. You're kind of going back into the we're tariffing outside companies.
So, and the last article I have for tonight, this one is from The Verge. According to Microsoft, please do not blow vape smoke into your Xbox Series X.
Shotgun an Xbox. They didn't fucking tell people not to shotgun an Xbox.
They've got video showing people doing it in the article on Twitter. And it admittedly looks awesome when you see smoke coming out of the top of the thing and the way it does the vertical venting.
Back in my day when there was smoke coming out of electronics, that wasn't cool. That was a time to worry.
Well, they're trolling people. They're cutting the video. Yeah, so it's like, it's on fire. And
yeah. Yeah, it wasn't exactly a perfect launch.
Yeah. Microsoft's latest next-gen console. If it just came out, it's no longer next-gen. It's now the current gen. Sorry. The Xbox Series X, along with its smaller cousin, the Xbox Series S, has arrived. And with it comes a bunch of internet con artists trying to meme people into believing the new console is plagued with terrible issues. Well, you were just saying the launch wasn't great, so... you might, for example, have seen clips passed around the internet that showcase the Xbox Series X literally smoking. These posts would have you believe that the blazing graphics of this thing's a fucking ad, but it was funny. It was, you know, that the thing is so demanding it can cause the Xbox to catch fire. But the reality is much simpler than the Xbox combusting into flame. What actually appears to be happening is people are piping vape smoke in their new $500 consoles to give off the appearance of a fire to troll people on social media. Also, please note it's probably not a great idea to intentionally fill your brand new console with water vapor.
Just saying.
And the tweet is from Xbox. There's a tweet from Xbox's official account saying, "We can't believe we have to say this. Please do not blow vape smoke into your new Xbox."
Damn it.
People be dumb. The hoax is vaguely plausible. Microsoft did have to deal with the Red Ring of Death issue back in the Xbox 360 days for over a decade and a half ago. The idea of gadgets catching fire isn't completely unheard of. Ring just recalled some of its video doorbells. And there's the infamous Galaxy Note 7 debacle that saw the entire product recalled and removed from the market due to concerns over it catching fire. Gadgets that tend to ignite are typically battery-powered, and the fire risk comes from the onboard battery, not something you have to worry about with an Xbox. Apparently, the video showing a ping pong ball floating over the fan was also faked, because there's the photo of the little wire piece holding it. So, anyways, this article is an ad for the Xbox. I just thought it was funny that the statement was made of, please don't blow vape smoke into your Xbox. Don't hotbox your Xbox, please. Although, anyone who's had to take apart old computers or consoles where people smoked, that's probably good advice. I've had to work on a few 3 and 486s that, you know, the fans were thrown in the trash because, my God. Early Pentium machines that, you know, engineers would sit there and work on their CAD and just smoke the fuck out of the things. Yeah, I had to deal with a few of those. Although, that wasn't as bad as machines that were stuck out in the shop, you know, running a plastic blow mold. Those suck because they're usually full of grease and plastic dust and all this other shit. Madman, I know you've had exploding Xboxes, but how often do you hotbox your consoles?
Well, I wouldn't, you know, waste a good vape pen. Now, if you have a doobie and you just really, really need to get Donkey Kong on your side.
I'm telling them how to mod their machine, Madman.
I love it.
Nothing gets him to throw fewer barrels than if he's stoned, because all he wants to do is sit there and eat bananas.
What do you think, are you?
I'm fucking shaking my head here, man. I have little to no faith in the youth. If the youth are our future, we must stop them now. I'm nothing.
I'm flashing on Dogbert's all-natural tech support. We can get him to hotbox it. Maybe we can get him to toss, I don't know, some bark in there.
You're going to want to find...
Greet
your
PC, plant some flowers in it.
You're going to want to find your local neighborhood dog and let them relieve themselves on the machine. That will fix the problem.
Oh, good. I don't have to sacrifice a rabbit over the top of it this time.
No, no. Rubber
Get rid
chicken.
Of the red ring of death.
Arise, chicken. Anyway. Okay. Two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first, because I was recommending Linux-based OSs, you know, in the discussion, is a website called the Linux Command Library. And they've got a big section specifically called one-liners. So if you're, you know, living on a Linux machine or using one, here's a whole bunch of different commands that do things. And some of them are kind of interesting. You know, like the, you know, there's a vim command that deletes all the empty commands, which actually looks like somebody rolled a potato over the keyboard. You know, how to do a Google verbatim search from your terminals in there. You know, query well-known ports, of course. You know, there's some more common stuff in here, but then there's some interesting stuff in here. So, you know, hey, it's good fun. And if you are living in a Linux land, some of this stuff's pretty useful. You know, how to connect to IRC without actually installing an IRC client. Just bare metal from the bash terminal. There you go. But actually, is it using, it's using send, and yeah, it's that's connecting to IRC just from the terminal without a console, without a client. You know, a few other things on here for various uses, but yeah, you know, if you're playing around learning it, these things are fun. And the last thing I have for you tonight is a Python library called PyTMIPE. Now, this is a little bit more hardcore than your Linux one-liners. This is a Python library for doing token manipulation and impersonation for privilege manipulation. This is an attack library for going after Windows systems. So, you know, the whole you break into a client machine, you prompt for an admin password to try to get, you know, somebody with admin privileges to log in. So you get their token, then you use their token to log into other machines. This is a Python library for doing that shit. Ostensibly for testing to see if you can do it or not. But if you're hacking networks, this is a library for you.
Cool.
And again, if you're, you know, living on the Raspi, like we talked about before, you can totally run this from there. You just need to install the dependencies. But, token impersonation and creation, token theft, parent PID spoofing. So you can that way say your Python process is, you know, part of Notepad or something that somebody's not really going to question. You know, simulating a service, generating WMI events, using the printer bug, and remote services. So, yeah, pretty exhaustive list. Nice little tool. They even have some demonstrations of how to use it from the command line there, of just running the demo script and getting all the commands you can throw at it. So now this is one thing that Python is not a default tool on a Windows box. So if you see somebody who's not a system admin or not a developer and they have Python installed in their box, you might want to look into that. Because that's not a common thing. And if they're not using a tool that needs it, you probably don't want to see that on most of your endpoints. Susie from accounting probably doesn't use Python.
And if she does, you got some interesting conversation at the bar on Friday night.
Well, there you go. Although, I say that, and now that I think about it, I once worked at a company where we had a developer decide to rewrite a bunch of common things in Perl, because Perl was a religion. And so most of our Windows servers had Strawberry Perl installed because they were running from some scripts from this guy for status monitoring. It's the dumbest fucking thing. Anyways, I don't get me wrong, the scripts worked, but it's like, you know, pick the right tool for the job rather than having Perl available on all the...
Each admin his own.
I should stop bitching about work on these streams. Anyways, that's all I've got for tonight. Susie from accounting's a freak. Yes. Good call.
Just don't tell her husband.
That's all I got for today. And of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 Radio site, the subreddit, the IRC. I've already read out who's in the IRC, but we'll do it again. Sardonyx, The Bot, Cyberlard, Psychros, Horatz, Madman, Morps. Why did I read myself? I've been drinking. Nick with 2Ks and the Coffee Maker. Madman, closing thoughts.
Think we might have an internet trade war? No, Europe taxing our internet businesses, us turning off their internet.
I was gonna say we're gonna tax their businesses. What businesses do they have? I'm sure they have some.
Turning off their internet.
I'm sure they have some. I don't know what they are. What are the major internet services out of the EU?
Does IKEA have a website we can attack? Wait a minute. They sell their shit on Amazon.
Are you? Closing thoughts.
I have none until this is all done in December. And then I'll start having thought again.
All right. That's all I've got. I'm going to close things out. And I agree. We're from now on, Susie from accounting is a freak.
Just don't tell her husband.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Democracy simply doesn't work.
But shut up, Wesley.